Hi everyone, Georgia Green here, founder and CEO of BEURevolution.com. I was introduced to Gary Vee and his content because a friend said, "Hey Georgia, come check this guy out. His messaging will really resonate with you with that." And it does. So stay tuned for his message on how to build your brand, think bigger, and develop self-awareness. And for your chance to intro an episode, make sure to tweet at Gary Vee with podcast feedback.
This is the Gary Vee Audio Experience.
What's up, influencers? Here with a very special guest, Gary Vaynerchuk. Thank you so much.
Thrilled to be here. We've been interacting for a very, very,
very long time. Gary Vaynerchuk, for those of you that might not know, started on Wine Library TV as a YouTuber, helped build his family's business from 3 to 60 million, as if that wasn't enough, started VaynerMedia, which that's where we're at right now, and is a New York Times best-selling author, just wrote his fourth book, Ask Gary Vee. Go check it out, and great speaker. Thank you so much for having me here.
Thank you.
You know, do you ever use that title, YouTuber?
I don't, only because I made a crucial mistake, everybody. Well, you know, it's tough because the people I did it with are amazing, but I started Wine Library TV in 2006, February 2006, almost 2005-ish. I started a YouTube show, Wine Show, made me quite internet famous, but I moved from YouTube to Vidler.
Vidler,
there was a lot of startups at the time, and Vidler made a very lucrative opportunity for me where I owned a nice piece of the company. And I made a businessman decision. I had a lot of other things going on for me on Twitter and other places, so I felt like I could give up the branding of what YouTube was gonna bring. But no question, one of the bigger mistakes, I mean, when I think back to starting the Ask Gary Vee show only, you know, 18 months ago and only having 40,000 subscribers in a world where on Vidler I had 400,000 viewers
Crazy.
On Wine Library TV, I left a lot on the table. You know, if I don't make that move, no question, in my Wikipedia, in my career, I could have probably been considered one of the first ever YouTubers. Mm-hmm. I was, but I left too soon. I left YouTube by 2007.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do think of myself that way.
Yeah.
YouTube and Twitter changed my life.
Yeah.
I'm so pumped that so many people followed my book and became huge YouTubers.
Yeah,
I mean, it's mainly about YouTube and Twitter.
Yeah.
But I don't take credit for it because my actions moved away from it.
Well, you know, you should take credit for the hustle because you came back and your name is huge, and maybe even more so in a specific, I want to say niche, but really in an industry, right?
Yes.
Digital marketing,
yes.
Online media, social media.
That's
Can
right.
you talk about that? Because, you know, one thing that people get hung up on are subscribers and views, right?
Yes.
Now, don't get me wrong. Your subscribers are really amazing. You got great fans.
Oh, but where you're going, and I'll get right to the punchline.
Yep.
First of all, I'm not even sure how many subscribers on YouTube I have, but my intuition is it's under 200,000. I know that to be fact. So I built my brand as a thought leader, as an executor, as an investor in this digital arena. And my, you know, even though I have 1.2 million followers on Twitter and I have some nice size following on other places, none of my following count is even remotely close to the financial impact I have, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get paid millions of dollars in advances to write books. This company is a $100 million a year business.
Yep.
It's helped grow my family wine business, there's a bunch of wine here, you know, by leaps and bounds. And so you're right. And I know that a lot of you make ad revenue and lots, seven figures on ad revenue from YouTube, other things of that nature. But I've gone down the path of having influence on the cover of business magazines, television. It's truly 360.
Yeah, yeah.
I've made my money not by the arbitrage of the ad revenue or some of the product placements. I've gone about it by going out and building businesses on the platform. So most of my behavior, you know, for example, I know I'm bouncing here a little bit, that's how
it's
I roll,
all good.
Guys.
Do it.
If I was worried about subscribers, I would spend a year going and doing collaborations.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I have permission because of my relationships, and I have a lot of them. I can easily get to, I spend time with YouTube, I spend time with Google and Facebook, and I'm not worried about that. Though I don't say that you don't have to, it's the path I chose.
Yep.
But I do think that when you think bigger and not just the next subscriber or the next product placement or how much ad revenue, you do open up your opportunity to much bigger things if you've got the capabilities like I had as a business person, for some people, what your capability is being a creative.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think the ecosystem of YouTube and other platforms is great for those people because they're doing the business sense thing that other thing that, let's say, I do as a businessman.
Absolutely. And I think the one thing that my wife, Judy, and myself learned the most from you is about engagement, the community. So can you talk about that? Because regardless of all that, it's how close your fans feel to you, and tell us about that and why.
Depth versus width. You know, I sold 100,000 copies of my book the first week. There's a lot of people that came out with bigger audiences, bigger stars, and they didn't because people actually care about me. As you know, and I talked a lot about it and Crush It, and I followed up a book 2 years later called The Thank You Economy. I don't think there's anything else besides the people on the other side of these cameras.
Yeah.
You know, if they care about you, then you win. And I look at things like the Grateful Dead or the Rolling Stones or Fish. Like, they don't have the biggest fans, but they have fans that travel, yeah, and care the most.
Diehards.
WWF wrestling.
Totally.
Like, if you look at economics and business, my friends, you know, you could have one subscriber. That subscriber could be Oprah Winfrey. And that impact of that, yeah, subscriber can make you so much more, bring you so much more, whatever you're going for. And so I think community engagement and actually acknowledging people leaving comments and replying. I mean, I was up at Snapchat till 1 o'clock in the morning last night just replying, using the new features,
yeah,
replying.
Yeah.
I think it's imperative. I would never take that for granted. I think if you're a digital influencer or somebody that's building a little bit of mojo, the number one thing you can do is thank the people that are leaving comments. I spend a lot of time in my Instagram comments right now.
Judy, please, to segue, after she read your book, she literally was up till 2 or 3 in the morning
just
responding to comments.
And that's why people liked her.
Tweets.
That's why people
especially
did.
Yeah, during a time when Twitter was like the thing, right?
I
know, I mean, you're singing to the choir here. I mean, we feel this and we believe it. So thank you so much.
And it
for
works.
That.
And what I've noticed from you guys from afar, because I've paid attention, we've been talking a long time. At this point, you guys haven't gone away from it, and too many people get a little base and, yeah, then they stop because it becomes overwhelming. Look, there was a time where I responded to every single tweet in 2008 to 2011,
yeah,
and that took me till 2 in the morning.
It's amazing how many people I meet that say that. They're like, oh yeah, I've been DM'd or he at-replied me, yeah.
And I was able to now because of Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter and Facebook comments and YouTube and the podcast. I can't get to them all. I'm one human. I don't want somebody else to do it. But I do think that I think it's achievable.
Yep.
Absolutely. Oh, here's Mike. Thank you, Mike.
Nice.
Health and fitness.
Totally. Lean and mean. Do you want to take a break?
No,
take a bite?
No, no.
Okay.
Let's go.
You know, a lot of people want to build their influence, right? Or they already have an influence. Maybe they're a business person. What advice do you have for people wanting to start utilizing online video to be able to build a passion into a business or a lifestyle?
First, you have to understand, and I've seen your guys' stuff, you guys actually had the ability to do it. It's okay if you're not good in front of the camera. Believe it or not, I'm throwing you for a curveball. You don't have to do video.
Yeah.
You have to find your medium. So for example, voice is really interesting to me. A lot of you watching right now were meant to be radio stars, not television stars.
Mm-hmm.
And between Anchor and SoundCloud and smart technology and the podcasts,
yeah,
there's so much for so many of you that are shy. Like, I see the camera and I wanna eat it. I wanna be in it.
Yeah.
I love it. But for so many, this is the right place for them to be. And so I would say that before I give you advice on what to do on video, you have to decide, is video the right medium for you?
Yeah, yeah.
For example, some of you are incredible writers, and the blog and medium.com, ironically, and other things of that nature, that could be the right thing for you. But if video is right, if you feel comfortable, or if you want to climb that mountain, you want to chip away and get better at it, I don't think there's any bigger or better medium.
Absolutely. For people wanting to get into this, they decide this is what they want to do, or current YouTubers or online video influencers,
yes,
what do you see happening as some of the biggest opportunities, both now and in the future?
Snapchat and Musical.ly, for everybody who's watching right now, is very important. You've got to start creating content. You've got to build a presence. Number two, a lot of you are missing this, and I talk to a lot of people on Snapchat, on Vine, on Instagram, and on YouTube. And a lot of people, I know a lot of you don't know who I am, but for the ones that do, just like you, a lot of people come to me for advice because they know that I can 360 their business, not just what they're doing. There's a misunderstanding, and I'm really glad we get this moment on this show thinking about who's probably watching. This is the world. You don't graduate to Hollywood. No. You don't graduate to television. Guys, this is the television. Yeah. The television's the radio, and it's 1965.
That's what makes you human, right?
It's not only what makes you human, yes, but it's where the world's going. Yeah. This is where people are gonna consume. Yeah. And so, too many people have become big on YouTube and want to go to Hollywood without realizing they're Hollywood and Hollywood needs to come to them.
Yes.
And so you need to take back the leverage and realize you're on the right side of history. If you plan on doing this for the next 48 to 72 months, 4 to 6 years, right? Then stay in this device, but win on all the channels. If you think of the way I do, this is the television, it's 1960s, and YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat, and Facebook are ABC, NBC, CBS, and if you can become a star on all those networks, well then you will win.
One of the things that you talk about, especially recently, is self-awareness, which is a perfect time to talk about finding your passion, but being self-aware and how important that is to finding passion and making the decision on moving forward and how to do that.
Look, I mean, I wish that I could win on my looks, but I don't, right? Like, you have to know what you're gonna win on. And too many people want to be a pop singer or a comedian or a pretty face model, and it's just not who they are.
Yeah.
And too many of you are leaving enormous upside on the table by trying to force a narrative that's romantic in your mind versus what you actually have.
Yeah.
I could do so many more things to build up my following, but it's not who I am. I know the hacking ways to get more followers, to get more people to know who I am, but I'm a businessman that happens to like understand content a little bit. So I'm never gonna be followed by the most, but I'm also, that means not gonna sell things I don't believe in.
Yeah.
So if you follow all the other entrepreneurs on Instagram, they're selling watches and cash on bed and models and bottles and private planes, and I don't sell that.
Yeah.
Because I don't wanna get the cheap followers or the cheap engagement.
Yep.
And so when you really are self-aware, when you really know who you are, what it allows you to do is stay in your lanes, not do other things. I can't produce the kind of videos that my buddy Casey can, right?
Yeah.
I can't, like it's just not who I am. And so you stay in your, like, my daily vlog, it's just one exhausting episode of me hustling 24 hours a day. And honestly, eventually it's gonna be very repetitive, but I don't care, that's my reality. My reality is I'm a workaholic who has some talents, but wants to show people that if you work really hard, if you want it, then at least you can get the most out of yourself.
Yeah.
Not that you're gonna make a billion if you work hard, but the most out of yourself. So I think self-awareness is imperative. It's why I put it in the new book.
Yeah, absolutely. YouTubers, traditionally, at least YouTubers like myself or my wife, have always been like a one-man band. Which there's nothing wrong with that, but one of the things that you've been able to do successfully is create a team around you to be even more successful, maybe arguably, than if you were by yourself. Can you talk about how important it is if you're trying to grow a business or you already are a business, how to create a team to achieve your goals?
Way too many of you that actually have something going for yourselves right now are taking the money and buying stuff instead of hiring employees and building your business.
Yeah.
So if you're knock on wood, so lucky that you make over $100,000 a year, which is amazing. You could go hire somebody for 35, young person who can afford, or an old person, but like, you know, cliche, somebody that can afford 35, that's an amazing camera person or an amazing editor and can take your game up. But what happens is young and just non-experienced business people are like, wait a minute, I made 100, I take that home and I'm gonna buy this new picture or this new watch or this new car, and you're not investing in your business. Whereas if you took that 35, if you took 65 home, but you had that 35, next year you're gonna make 210 instead of 132.
35 would get you a D-Rock, right?
100%.
Right?
There is an enormous amount of young, talented video or editing talent out there that is coming out of school that instead of getting some job that they don't want, would love to go work and be a one man or one woman shop video editing production for a YouTuber that then helps scale the YouTuber. Because with Wine Library TV, it was me and my camera guy, Mott. We just sat in, people thought it was my mom, because they used to say, Mott, let's edit that. And they're like, your mom films you? Because it sounded like Ma.
Yeah,
but But he was like our IT guy at Wine Library. We had like a $300, like a $200 Canon. There was no editing. I don't know if you know this, if any of you ever seen it. We would just film it, rip it, and post it. There was no editing.
Yeah.
With D-Rock, now with Daily V, there's real editing and music. And I'm like, oh, this is a whole different game.
Yeah, a whole different swagger. Yes. Now, I love what you said about hiring somebody right out of school.
Yes.
On my food channel, Benjamin TV,
yes.
I was editing. I was a one-man band forever, right? I put out onto my YouTube channel, hey, I would like to work with a videographer, someone that edits, right? 17-year-old kid out of high school was the best person. And
literally, talent is talent.
Literally, the last 2 years, he's been putting out content on my channel that kicks my content's ass. Like, literally the best stuff, 17 years old, right? And also, I want to piggyback on that because you talk about this as well. They would love the opportunity to mentor under someone like yourself or to like learn about, you know, this new venture or this.
Are you kidding? You know, that guy Mike that walked in here, my next health person, I'm gonna charge them because his online business exploded under my watch as I'm paying him to be my health coach.
Yeah.
For sure. There's so many ways to exchange value with people, right? There's money, there's opportunity, there's mentorship. As long as two people, it's like any relationship. I'm sure the way your wife and you live your guys' life,
yes.
I'm sure there's friends or acquaintances that can judge from afar. It's very different.
Absolutely.
It's not the traditional
Especially
way.
Especially in Seattle, where it's not like common
course,
place to
do that. Of course,
of course.
Like, I would never tell somebody how to act in their work-life balance in a relationship or how to raise their kids.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about business relationships. If somebody wants to go work for free because they just want to have fun and they come from a wealthy background, God bless, I didn't know that. I'm not gonna judge you for not paying the kid, or if somebody wants to get overpaid, who knows? But there's always somebody on the other side of the camera that you can talk to. There's a line of 10 or 15 people that are willing to edit or become the Snapchat person or be the designer for the Snapchat filters for that person. There's just so much amazing talent out there that's one ask away from your next YouTube video that can bring enormous people to you.
So this next question actually comes from a viewer that actually you may or may not know, Alejandro Reyes,
yes,
right,
I know.
From the Seattle area, and he sent in this question to me.
Exactly who that is.
And this is what he says. Gary, since you're the master storyteller, how much of someone's story they share online should be aspirational? I think you buying the Jets, that's a story that you've been talking about for several years, and I think your audience, myself included, can't wait to be a part of your story when you make it happen.
Alejandro, that's a great question. I think more than aspirational, it has to be real.
Mm.
The fact that my sixth grade class mates can come on Facebook, as I've seen recently, and say, he was saying this in sixth grade, that's more important than if it was aspirational.
Yeah.
More important than you're gonna change the world or buy a sports team or whatever your ambition is it's gotta be true.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think truth trumps everything. And I think what's really worked for me is there's no hyper growth. You know, I know in 17 years I'm gonna make a video on virtual reality and contact lenses that's gonna be my most viral moment. And it'll put me on the map.
Yeah.
Overnight, like Obama gave his talk at the, you know, and that propelled him to, just these moments, right? A viral moment. I know I have it in me. And I know exactly what's gonna happen in 17 years. When 96% of America discovers me, everyone's gonna be like, oh, he's an overnight success. It happened overnight.
Yeah,
but it's gonna be 40 years in the making.
Yeah.
And so I think truth is what allows that. Like, for example, we're sitting here today. This creates some awareness. We would not be sitting here today if I was full of crap and not a good guy.
Absolutely.
You've dug, we've DM'd,
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure, I could inspire you and good things came from it, but if you DM'd me and said this is what's happened, or if we didn't interact back and forth, or if I would've just said buzz off, I'm busy,
I wouldn't have even tried.
Correct. And so I think the truth is the truth is the truth. And so I recommend to everybody watching a couple things. One, be patient. Patience, your life is long. Whether you're 18, 32, or 71, you've got more time than you think. You just do. I think number two, make pretend your whole life is being on the record. Every one of my actions, I make pretend all this is happening.
Yeah.
Even when I know it's not happening, because that person can go tell somebody, and that becomes your reputation. And number three, the truth is the truth. Don't make up stuff. I've been yelling at a lot of kids saying, I'm a business coach, or I'm this, when you're not. I don't force my aspiration. I've always been ambitious. I don't fake the funk and say that I know stuff. I stay in my lane, and I think staying in your lane is very, very important. Hey guys, I hope you really enjoyed this episode of the Gary Vee Experience. Now go out and share this, pass it on, let me know what you thought.